Back on Sports 180. Thanks for hanging out with us today as we head into the second half of Sports 180 on this Friday afternoon. Find us on the WNML app and online, 991thesportsanimal.com. And we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. And welcome to the show, Will Shelton of GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, good afternoon. We appreciate the time as always. And we have discussed the possibility of Tennessee making a pretty sizable leap from last year to this upcoming year, and that's getting to 9 regular season wins. It has been more than a decade since Tennessee has been able to do that. Will, can you buy in right now? What kind of chance, at least, would you give Tennessee to be able to make the jump to 9-3 in the regular season this year?
Well, let me say, first of all, if you ask me this question in August, I'm sure I'll be at 9 wins by then. That's kind of how this goes, right, as we ramp it up. Yep. as it goes through the offseason. I think the most level conversation I think that Tennessee fans can have with it now is to say, all right, if it's 8-4, is that saying an 8-4 is you get one of those big four games, Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, but then you stub your toe somewhere else. And like that's kind of where I am today. I think Tennessee is going to. I think that it would be really good for Jeremy Pruitt, you know, for them to get one of those big four games. And at the same time, are we ready then to say they did it last year after Georgia State and BYU, obviously, but they did it in the SEC last year where they beat everybody else that they're supposed to beat. Are we ready to say, all right, Tennessee's going to do that again now? And I don't know. That's something that Tennessee really struggled to do throughout the last 10 to 12 years, is to run that table of South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas certainly would be in there this year with the quality of opponent that is. Can they do that 2 years in a row? The one thing about it is, like, if you're looking for a trap game on Tennessee's schedule, a lot of those options, Missouri, you get them the week after Florida, that's a first-year coach. South Carolina, Tennessee and South Carolina play each other. Both of them have a bye week the week after that game. So Tennessee and South Carolina catch each other at the end of a gauntlet. Kentucky is the most trappy. It's the trappiest game on Tennessee's schedule, but it requires you to believe that Kentucky's going to beat Tennessee in Knoxville, and we haven't seen that since the 80s. So I don't know. I think 8-4 is still, like, that's the good place to – that's the reasonable place to live right now. But I think Tennessee, I think it's a good expectation to say, all right, let's get one of these four games. And then when you try to find the loss to bring it back from 9-8, the schedule in this case, I think, works in Tennessee's favor. So, yeah, if it's 9-3, any way you slice it, that's a great job by Jeremy Pruitt and these guys here in year three.
I definitely agree with you. Earlier this week, Will, Tom Fornelli, he's circling the Alabama game as one of the big four, his most likely for Tennessee to pull off an upset, and he gave some interesting reasoning behind that. When you look at the big four, which one do you maybe have circled as, hey, if Jeremy Pruitt has his team ready to go, this team better look out?
I still think now, here coming into the end of May, I would still go with the Gators at number one. And again, I know that's what we do as Tennessee fans, is convince ourselves that we're secretly better than Florida and we should stop losing to them and get the job done this time. But I think that's the one where the talent differential is probably closest. And I think it's one where it's just hard to take a lot from. The Jeremy Pruitt two games against the Gators have been really strange. One for the on-field stuff 2 years ago in Knoxville, where they just turned it over every other play. And then last year, kind of with everything that was happening with Tennessee in September. So today, I would still say Florida is most likely. I mean, it still seems like you're going to get a pretty good head start on Oklahoma in terms of getting players back in official workouts and that sort of thing. So let's see. You know, that one may creep up the list a little bit as it goes. And Alabama, if you're looking for a trap game on Alabama's schedule, it is Tennessee, because the Vols get the bye week. That's the end of a long stretch of games for them. Certainly a game Tennessee had a chance to be in last year as well. So, you know, the Georgia game, I don't hear anybody saying that. And that's in part because just where it is on the schedule, and we're not used to that, obviously, because it's the first year Tennessee and Georgia have played each other in November, but it's just so hard to say, here's what we can expect from two teams that are going to meet in the second week of November. You know, we need to see a lot of football between now and then. So I think I'd be curious, but I think for most Tennessee fans, we're still going to default to the Gators for now. it seems outrageous to say, yeah, it's Alabama, like given the way Saban has run it down there for a long time now. But that would at least be in the conversation just specifically because of the schedule and the good job Tennessee did down there in Tuscaloosa last year.
We're talking to Will Shelton of GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, on the basketball side, what do you think about the position that Eve Pons is in, where this NBA draft process is different from any other year? The draft's not going to take place in late June as expected, so he's trying to make a decision what to do. And then from Tennessee's side, the importance of having Eve Pons back. How would you describe that part of it?
Yeah, from Tennessee's side, I mean, there's nobody, you can't replace him as far as we know, unless it's going to be Corey Walker coming in there. What he does is particularly irreplaceable, just that freak athleticism, shot blocking, all that stuff. I mean, if he goes, that's a hole you're just going to have a hard time filling defensively. And I think it drops Tennessee's ceiling if you have him not on the floor. I feel bad for him because, I mean, you know, what kind of decision are you supposed to make in this time? If in football we're making the argument over and over that, oh, these guys should go ahead and commit to Tennessee early, commit to your team early, get it locked in, that sort of thing, then, hey, I mean, maybe there's an argument if you're Pons using that same logic to say maybe he should declare for the draft. If he's got any chance at being selected, you know, late first round, early second round, just takes one team to really believe in your upside, and he's got plenty of upside, then, you know, like, I get it. I get that sense. I think everybody, when you hear Barnes kind of talk around it, I think everybody understands his offensive game could really use a leap. If he could show what he showed at Kansas last year on a much more regular basis, then, I mean, he's a first-round pick for sure if he can display that sort of talent and skill on a regular basis. But it's just hard to know, and I think it's going to be hard to know for a while. So for him and anybody else that's kind of on the fence like that, you just feel for him. And I think any decision he makes, you could kind of understand it either way. But, yeah, for Tennessee's ceiling, you just don't replace him. I mean, you would need more from Tennessee offensively for sure next year if you're not going to have that guy out there to be able to really take away some of what the other team wants to do.
You're not supposed to say that out loud, Will. We want him to come back. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you're right. The thing about it is, with Eve Pons, the athleticism is there, the defense is there. It's just his offensive skill set. And if you are a team looking at him in the NBA, do you just automatically think, oh, we can give you that? You let us draft you. We can give you that. Do you think that NBA teams are thinking he is a commodity at this point?
I think enough of them would look at, again, they're just stuff he does, and it's stuff on film that he does with shot blocking and athleticism that not everybody, even at this elite level of basketball, he can do some things that not everybody can do. So I think that there's plenty of guys that, you know, that belief, hey, we can teach you to knock down a three more efficiently. We're not going to ask you to be a primary option in our offense, so you'll get more open looks, that sort of thing. I think from Tennessee's perspective, you know, it makes me think of the conversation they had about Kyle Alexander, where they would have loved to have redshirted him but didn't have the opportunity. But Barnes and these guys make players better. I mean, that's what they do. Everybody that sticks around here gets better, and many of them now, you know, get to or project to the NBA. We saw that last year with Fulkerson, certainly. So I think just kind of applying what we've seen Barnes do with other guys – to one more year of Pons, especially when, you know, it's everybody's assumption is Tennessee's going to have lots of different options of ways to score the basketball themselves next year that could really create a lot of good looks, a lot of opportunity for Pons to really make a name for himself. So, you know, again, it only takes one, and there are plenty of guys who go pro early, football and basketball, who tell themselves, well, it only takes one, and then they don't find that one. So, that would be the last thing you'd want for him is to jump early on this because things are uncertain, but it ends up being the wrong decision and then nobody takes you. And, you know, certainly he's an international player. I'm sure he would be comfortable going back to France or wherever and playing basketball and certainly could do well there. But, it seems like it would be in his best interest to come back to Tennessee if they've got any kind of guarantee that, hey, yeah, we're going to play basketball here regularly going forward and that sort of thing.
Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. Will, before you go, tomorrow's Vol Network Classic that we're going to run on the station, we're doing it every Saturday, is the 2006 Tennessee win against Georgia, 51-33. What stands out to you about that game? How incredible was that fourth quarter in Tennessee's win against Georgia?
Yeah, this is my favorite conversation about that game is what's a more dominant fourth quarter than that game against a good opponent on the road who at the time, Tennessee won in Athens the last time they were there in 2004, but other than 04, Georgia had won every game in that decade in that series, so it was 4 out of 5 at that point. Like, beating Georgia was a nice thing in that moment in time in Tennessee history. And so I think that, you know, they scored 4 touchdowns in that. I think it's 4 touchdowns, 2 turnovers, and a blocked punt. Like, pretty good on the road at a top 15 Georgia team in a game you were down 24-7 earlier. So there are some others, like the 2016 Florida game certainly would be in the conversation, but Tennessee gets that going with that touchdown pass to Wolf is midway through the third quarter. So, like, the thing has already started rolling in a sense there. Just for what happens in those 15 minutes, to me, I think it's at the top of the list of what Tennessee has done against a really good team in just sheer dominance in every phase of that game. So we put that, I think, on our list back when all this started a couple months ago in terms of rewatchable games, rewatchable beatdowns of like, hey, maybe you haven't thought about this game in a while, but man, this was a lot of fun in the moment and just, I mean, truly an avalanche of what Tennessee did to those guys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that is our game tomorrow, the 2006 Tennessee win against Georgia. And you got the SI cover with Wardlow, right? I mean, just incredible what came out of that game as well. So you can hear that on the Sports Animal tomorrow with the Vol Network Classic. What's going on at game day on RockyTop.com?
So our preseason magazine is officially a thing that's going to happen, and it's starting today. You can order it from us. It'll be on shelves wherever you listen to this in East Tennessee in late June. There'll be fewer copies of it on shelves just with uncertainty and everything going on in the world. So the best way to get it is to get it from us. That's the fastest way to get it. So folks can order that starting today, right now, starting about a couple hours ago on our website. As always, that thing is more than 100 pages, no ads, all Tennessee and the SEC. We're really proud of this thing. So folks can go to our website and find that. I wrote some more yesterday just about, again, if we're talking about Tennessee trying to get one of these games in the fall, the fact that 2015 is the only season where Tennessee has not lost a 3-possession game since 2001. Like, just being in these things, we talked about this a little bit last week and wrote on it some last week, just coming to kickoff and thinking, yeah, we've got a chance to beat Oklahoma and Alabama and Florida and Georgia. That's not something that we've seen around here really in a long time. So that is a lot of value in that, I think, too, in terms of how we're continuing to frame this conversation about what this team can be.
If you're in it, you have a chance to win it. Check out GameDayOnRockyTop.com. A lot of good stuff going on there right now, getting you ready for this upcoming football season. GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you next Friday.
All right. Thank you all.
Will joins us every week here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.